Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Hey. Okay, let's go back to the parva, because parva is a sort of strange word. What is the meaning of that word? We said we have Lishkas HaParva. Omer Rav Yosef, oh, parva is a famous magician. So he's parva amgusha. Okay, so what in the world does that mean? So Rashi says, well, he was the guy that built that specific Lishka, so they called it on his name. So, I mean, somebody showed him ass. I mean, how could Rashi say they would call a Lishka, the Beis HaMikdash, after a guy who was an Amgusha? An Amgusha says the Goyim that were Isaac in sorcery. I mean, that's crazy. So, okay, so some of the Rishonim suggest that this guy ended up doing Teshuvah, and since he had made this thing with his magic to use sorcery, so they brought it in his name. Very weird, very, very weird. There's a very cute pirish, but he doesn't get it from anywhere. You know, just made it up, but it's a cute pirish of the Tiferes Yisroel. The Tiferes Yisroel says, look, when you have a guy who does the most amazing engineering feats and so on, what do you say? Oh my God, this guy's a magician. So that's the point. So this guy, Parva, was an incredible engineer, and he worked out how to get the water from Enitim to go up to the top of the Lishkas HaParva in a way that nobody could even notice the engineering that went into it. The pipes were in the walls, and so on and so forth. They had to be bottled up binyan in order not to be a problem. Okay, so this guy's an amazing engineer. They called it after the Parva, the magician. It's very cute. Tosis brings a Kabbalah that this guy actually was an Amgusha, and that what he did was he was very anxious to get a gander at the Kohen Gadol doing that void on Yom Kippurim. You know, he figured he could learn some new tricks from this guy. So anyway, so he digs under the Beis HaMikdash, and he's got this periscope device. You know, he's going to go peek in at the Kohen Gadol. And so they bombed the tunnel just as he was about to come out, and they killed him. And in order to make that something that people would remember, Lederes, so they called the Lishkas HaParva for the Kohen Gadol, just remember what happened to Parva and don't get anybody ideas. So that's a very different take on it. Okay.
It's a very dramatic way of learning Tosfos. As opposed to just saying they filled the tunnel, not with him in it.
Yes, but that's the way the Rishonim say it.
Wow.
Yeah. I wouldn't say such things on my own. Okay, anyway, excellent. So now getting on to the next piece. Parsu Sadin Shel Boots. Why did they use boots? We know the answer to that. But earlier, we had brought the answer from here. Here it really makes sense, because here he's putting on big day boots. So we want him to remember that, like, he's going to be Osek right now. Everything that he does is going to be done with boots. Before, it was a little bit strange because he was going to be putting on his big day zohar. That's why we brought it from here, that even over there, we wanted to be clear to him that he shouldn't think that the arba begadim are the big day boots that he's going to be wearing later. Right now, he'll be wearing the big day boots. So Amar Rav Kani should know that the avodas hayom is the big day boots. Okay. B'shachar haya lavesh plusit yoshmona hasar, and in the afternoon it was shnei masar, altogether shloshim. You got to be kidding. The Tana is coming to teach us how to do first grade arithmetic? So v'tana minyona atolashminam. What in the world is the need to spell out that 12 and 18 equals 30? No. Because what the Tana wanted to say is, all that's important to us is to keep the total. The total is 30. So if you want to change the proportions a little bit, you want to make the ones in the morning more value, a little more than 12, you want to take that off for the ones in the afternoon, it's also okay. But you do have to be makbid. We're setting aside this amount of money for the chashivas of the Aveda. So, but you can't make less than 30. Butzer mehani lo navid. But ibutzer mehani v'tofi ahani. If you take a little bit off of one and add it onto the other and change the proportion, that is less than, but it doesn't bother us. Okay, but apparently everybody agrees, to kule amad miyat, to shachar adife. that we do need to have the Aveda in the big day lovan of the morning to be more chosh of the beganim. Where does that come from? If you take a look at the pasuk that talks about Ksenes bad kedesh yubash, say bad yubash al b'sara, v'avneit bad yakam, and come on, bad. I mean, what are you trying to tell me? I want the best, is what I'm trying to tell you. When I say bad, I mean bad. You got it? Bad. Absolutely the baddest bad. And therefore, it's mufchar shababad. That is the marker of why. Meizvah. V'lavshu begadim acherim, v'lo yekatshu et ha'am bevigdehem. So we have this strange discussion in Yechezkel, and over there, the pasuk goes through what it is that the Kohen does on Yom Kippur. So it says, "B'tzeitam alachatzera chitzona, yivshetu," and it repeats, "alachatzera chitzona, alaam, yivshetu et bigdeyem asher hem mishartim bam, v'inichu otam b'lishkat ha-kodesh, v'lavshu b'gadim acherim, v'lo yikatshu et ha-am b'vigdeyem." So what is that referring to? So the pasuk before said beferish that they have to be wearing big day bad, and no tzemer should be elal b'sarim, which is ridiculous, because if it's talking about the going on Yom HaKippurim, how could you say no tzemer? I mean, the begadim, the Torah says, have to be made with tzemer. So what exactly is Yechezkel referring to? He could only be referring to Yom Kippur. And then it goes on to say that when the Kohen comes out, the Kohen Gadol comes out to the Chatzar HaChatzonah, and it's at the end of the day, and note the words Vihini Chosham, which of course is the siman that we're talking about, that same Pasuk Chav Gimel that occurs in Vayikra Tet Zayin, Vihini Chosham. So we're talking about over here the second Aveda that he's doing with these begadim. Now the truth is, in the Torah, it doesn't say that there's a second Aveda. We figured that out because of the fact that the whole parsha was written al kesidron except for this pasuk. Remember, because there's no other way to work out the chamish tefilas, and the asura kiddush. So Yechezkel, because of that, he wanted to give it a mocker in the Torah Shebiksav, the Divrei Kabbalah. So because of that, he wanted to make it clear that when the Kohen goes in for the Hotzas, Kafu Machateh, he should be wearing specifically the Bagadim Achirim, and that means that there's supposed to be a Lavshu Bagadim Achirim specifically, and that would mean Lo Yikatshu Et Ha'am Bevigdehem. Now this part, that means if he's going to be going out, this is the last thing that he's doing. Now he's going to be wearing his big day chol. He should put away his big day kodesh. It's not referring to lo yikatshu et ha'am with the begadim achashuvim that he had before. It means with begadim at all that are big day kohuna. So luchara, when it says acherim, so then what's the purpose of saying acherim? Luchara, when you say acherim, it has to be something that's more chashuv. What else sets them aside from the first ones? Says, no, on the contrary. Acherim can be set aside by being less, because the second Aveda that he's going to be doing the big day lavan is only Aveda Siluk. And therefore, it makes sense that in the same way that we talked about the taking off the ashes from the Mizbeach, you don't use such Choshev HaBegadim. Same thing is here, is true. You don't use such Choshev HaBegadim. So the last thing that we had learned was that the Gemara wanted to understand what exactly the relationship is between the 12 and 18 equal 30. And it ended up, we said, that we're going to have lower quality begadim that we use for taking out the kaf and the machta than we do for doing the actual avodah of the kapara. And we don't really care that it has to be precisely the way that we measured it with 18 and 12, but we want it to be more valuable when you're doing the avodah HaKapara. And we also have set aside 30 for the total from the money of the tzibur. That's what we learned out yesterday. The last thing we learned was that bad, which is mentioned in the original dressing of the Kohen Gadol four times in each one of the Arba Begadim, it says bad separately. that teaches us Mufchashe Baba. So let's start at the top of Lamed Hei Amud Beis, Mitve. So here we're talking about the story in Yechezkel, and Yechezkel goes through the Avedas HaKohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. How do we know that it's talking about Yom HaKippurim? That's because it says Beferish in the Pasuk before the one that we're going to bring, it says that they cannot be wearing tzemer velo ya'ale aleihem. Shmu, you're not muted. So it says over there, they should not be wearing any tzemer. Lo ya'alu aleihem tzemer, and that can't be true during the year because there has to be tzemer. So it's got to be referring to the Arba Begunim of Yom HaKippurim. And then it says, "Ubetzeitam el chatzer achitzona, el chatzer achitzone el am, yivshitu et bidehem asher hem mishortim bam, v'nichu otam b'lishkat hakodesh v'lavshu begadim achirim." So now the question is, the meaning of the v'lavshu begadim achirim is troubling us because we understand that the purpose of Yechezkel going over things that are written in the Torah is only where he's coming to teach us something that before we knew either from Halacha L'Mishum Sinai or from very subtle diyukim. So sometimes Yechezkel goes over to make sure that we actually see that this is written, and he wants to be masmichit on the pasuk, that we should actually see it inside, and it'll be like a chelik of the Tanakh. That's what leads us to understand that he must be referring here to that which it doesn't say, Beferish in the Pasuk. And it's talking about the Kohen Gadol going back in order to take care of the Kafu Machta, and this is where we learn out. So when he's talking about putting on Begadim Achirim, he's talking about putting on Begadim that are, Lechora, noticeably different than the original Begadim. Now, normally when we say that, we mean they should be something that should be clearly delineated as being special. Being special usually means being better, right? So my love, acherim, means chashuvim mehem. It's not meant, and this is a little bit confusing in the pasuk, because the closing of the pasuk says, v'lo yikachu et ha'am bevigdehem, which is mashma that we're talking about the bigdei chol, that we left already behind the begadim acherim. But the way we understand the pasuk is that, look, he's got to be coming to teach us something. So therefore, this last piece is referring to making sure that he put aside all of his big day kadesh. And then, that's the loyikachru tam bevigdehem. But the words before v'lavshu bigdodim acherim has got to be a remez to the begadim that he's going to be doing with big day lavan. And it's saying they should be even more chashav. And you said in the Mishnah that the begadim should be less chashav. And you split it up a dafka in that way, says the Gemara. Well, it's also possible to make something very clearly delineated by making them less. And maybe that's what it means, which would fit with the Mishnah just fine. So, acherim, dafka means pechutim mehen. Because why does he stress this, Yechezkel? Because he wants us to understand that there's a secondary thing that you have to do. So what makes it secondary? The fact that it's only avodat siluk, and it's not coming for any kind of kapora for the tzibur, why is the Kohen Gadol going back in to take out the kafu machta? Why don't we mention it in the pasuk? Because the point is it's being done as a logistical requirement. And it's not proper to have left in the kafu machta, but you leave it there when it finishes with the keteras. Therefore, the Torah takes for granted, look, you need to understand that it's very important in terms of the covet of the Avada to take it out. Fine, so you would have thought, but maybe it's not an Avada. Comes along the Pasuk to be Merames. No, he has to be wearing his Big Day Kodesh. Because then, only then, does it say V'nichum Sham after he does that Avada. So therefore, Yechezkel is coming to say that Avada should be done as an Avada Siluk. So even though you're wearing Bigadim of Big Day Kohen, but those begadim should be begadim that are less quality. Tani Ravuna bar Yehuda, and some say it was Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, you should know that after we complete the avoda of the tzibur, kohen shastalo imo kitonet lovshava oveda avodat yachid, that then, if, let's say, the mommy of the Kohen Gadol, remember that the mommies of the Kohen Gadol were very special mommies, right? because they were the ones that were davening all the time for their children, because the Kohen Gadol was the object of many other mommies' prayers that he should drop dead. Why is that? Because anybody that was in the Orei Miklat was not allowed to leave the Orei Miklat until the Kohen Gadol died. So all of the prisoners, so to speak, in the Orei Miklat, their mothers were hoping that so were they. You know, maybe we could have this Kohen die very soon and we'll get out of here. So because of that, they used to, Bedavka, take great pride and tefillah in their children. But more than that, as we'll see, the getter of the kuhuna, the chashivas of the kuhuna, was achieved by women who were particularly careful about tznius in their homes, and it was in their schlis that the child was a kohen gadol. So therefore, we're talking about over here the pride that a mother would take in my son, the kohen gadol. That was something that would be expressed also in the special clothing that they would make. And then they would give it over to the tzibur. So after he finishes the avodas tzibur, if his mommy made him a beautiful ketonet, he can do that. And he can do avodas yochid in that. Ubevachim serenu letzibur. Now Rashi understands that what this is a reference to is what we're talking about. The avodas yochid, says Rashi, is a reference to the Aveda that we just mentioned, of the Kaf Umachta. What it's telling us is that even though we did say that we're looking for begotim that are pchutin mehem, however, you should know that that does not mean pchutin mehem. That means minat sibur. But if you're talking about something that is mommy maiden, it doesn't have to be pchutin mehem, and we're willing to have him in nicer begotim. Why do we call this then, if that's what it's referring to, avodas yochid? Because the tzibur, in the sense of kapora, doesn't get anything out of it. It's all just something that is his personal chovah, so to speak, because it's as if the Torah is saying, look, you brought in the kafa machata, you take out the kafa machata, that's only correct. So it's personal in that sense, but it's still an avodah, and therefore it has to be a big day kuhuna. That's why it says over your bilvachim serena, the mother has to give over these begadim to the tzibur in order for them to be kosher big day kuhuna, because otherwise they're not kosher klishores, because they don't belong to yechidim. Now Rashi brings that others learn that that's a very strange language, avodas yochid, and because of that, they learn that it's a reference to what we're going to be getting to later, that when the Kohen does the kriyas haterah, that he used to wear beautiful, beautiful begonim that were worth hundreds of thousands of dollars and so on. And then that's what it's referring to. But Rashi says that that doesn't make sense, because why would you need to be Yimserena Letzibur? And it doesn't say over there in that sugya Yimserena Letzibur. So because of that, the Pashtus Rashi learns of the sugya is that we're calling the siluk of the Kafu Machta and Avedas Yochid, remarkably. Okay. Says the Gemara, well, why not? Pshita. Because ma de tema necha shem aloyim sereni yofa yofa komash malan. Because I would have thought that we do, in fact, we had before, that there's a machlokas about whether we can rely on the kohen to be meis, or to the person who's giving a nedava to be meisre yofa yofa. We had that about the case we had when we were talking about in Shkolim, the shem rei svichim b'shvias, and things like that. And there are other cases that we also had in Menachos, we talked about in Shkolim as well. We started that discussion about whether a Kohen Sheshokel is considered to be a Chayte or not. The Gemara wanted to say, if you're worried that Loyim Serena Letzibur Yafa Yafa, so maybe over there we ought to be concerned, as Tosis points out. In any event, there's always this chashash. Why indeed is this not part of the machlokas, asks Tosfos, about whether we're chayshet shem Elohim Yisrael? As Tosfos says, because, look, over here we're talking about a Kohen Gadol, and the guy, first of all, he's the one who's being nene from it. I mean, it's all for the tiferes of the Kohen Gadol. And besides that, in general, we talk about a Kohen Gadol, it's a Talmud Chacham, an Adam Gadol. He's certainly going to be Moshe Letzibur Yafa Yafa. Well, that was the Gemara that discusses the machlokas. That's talking about regular people. Okay, so that would therefore be the Chiddush. There is a bit of a problem with Rashi's Pshat, I just want to point out to you. And that is that we just established from the Pasuk that the begadim that you do the otzos kafumachta are supposed to be lower quality begadim. And if that's the case, if his mother is going to make him begadim for the otzos kafumachta that are more valuable than the big day kuhuna lovan that he did the aveda for the tzibor, so then we've got a problem, because the whole point of the pasuk was to teach me that they need to be acherim pchutim mehem. And therefore, it is not pshita at all. I mean, so why would the Gemara say pshita alibed Rashi? You see? Unless we're taking for granted that the only meaning of the pasuk is in terms of the kesev of the tzibur. And that's coming to address the Mishnah that says that besach hakol we have shloshim, because that means that we put away from the kaspei hatzibur shloshim. So from the kaspei hatzibur, we need to make it obvious that they are worth less, because it's aveda siluk. But the truth is that the pasuk as defined, and this is works out beautifully like Rashi, the pasuk as defined in Yechezkel, when the Gemara says, when it says acherim, doesn't that mean more valuable? The truth is it does mean more valuable. That's what the Gemara was saying is absolutely true. It's just as meaningful to have them separated out by saying that acherim means they're more valuable. Because it's just saying that the begadim are different. The thing is that when we're talking about the relationship of the earlier begadim to the later begadim in the Mishnah, then the pasuk seems to be a contradiction. So all we were saying before was that the begadim could be less valuable, and that would also be a simon, and then that would be a simon that it was only an avodas yachid. But the truth is that if he's wearing the begonim of his mommy, that's also a simon that's an avodas yachid, you see? So that would explain, according to Rashi, why it is that we call it avodas yachid, and at the same time, why it's pshita, and consistent with the pasuk in Yechezkel, that they would be more valuable. I see not too many people are following me over here, because they would be smiling if they did. So, okay. I'll shut up and we'll continue in the parshas of the Daf Yomi. I just couldn't resist because it was just such a beautiful, balanced out thing, the way Rashi is
writing it down so I can remind Rebbe in 7 years that Rebbe said it, in case Rebbe forgets.
Bezrat Hashem, I'll find. Yes. So, continues the Gemara. And indeed, Amru Alav Rebbe Shmuel ben Pabi, that his mommy made for him a ketonet that was worth mea mana, and he would be lofsha, and he did the avedas yochid, again, which according to Rashi means, this aveda avodas kafumachta, and of course, she had given it over to the tzibur properly, even though it was worth $100,000, she gave it over to the tzibur. And they say that Rebbe Lozer ben Charsom's mommy, she made him a ketonet that was worth 20,000, oh my God. But over there, Echav HaKohanim refused to allow him to wear it, because they said the emperor has no clothes. It was transparent. It's, what's going on over here? You can't walk around naked in the Beis HaMikdash. What are you, nuts? What do you mean, Sisigmar, naked? How's that possible? Mi mischaze. Vi omar mar chutan kafur shisha. We learn out from Bad that the idea over there is that you need to have six different chutim in it, and that's extremely thick. So if it's that thick, how in the world, I mean, I understand if a material is extremely fine that you can actually make out what's on the other side, but if a material is so thick, how can you make it out? That doesn't make sense. Omer Abai, it does make sense. We're not talking about how thin the threads are. We're talking about how fine the work on the pishtan was, that the pishtan became transparent, that it was colorless because it was so... it was made with such attention. That's the point. So the same way, you can have a very thick glass and you don't see the wine in the cup, you still see the chamra b'mazga. So that was the thing over here. So they said, this was the first, the emperor has no clothes. Everybody else was, oh my gosh, what beautiful begotten. It was the little kid who said, no way. Okay. Tana Rabbana, you know, let me tell you something. What we're talking about over here, the riches of Rebbe Elazar ben Charsom, we're talking about the chashivas of the riches. So you should know that you can imagine to yourself that an ani, this is like the old stories, they say, you know, a priest and a rabbi and a imam walk into the bar together. So here we've got a case where a poor man, a rich man, and a rasha all walk into the Beis Din Shalmala together. And a lot of these stories also go end up, they come to heaven, you know. So this is the first of those stories. So these three guys walk into the Beis Din Shalmala. Okay. So the Beis Din could say to the Ani, listen here, mipnei malo asakta batorah. So the Ani comes up with the standard answer. Listen, I'm so poor. I mean, you know what it takes to make a living. I mean, I had no time to learn. So we say to the Ani, klum ani ayita yoter mi Hillel? What? You're such an Ani, you're a bigger Ani than Hillel HaZaken? You know the story of Hillel HaZaken, Amru Alav al Hillel HaZaken, b'cho yom v'yom haya oseo mistaker b'trapik, he made a penny a day, chetzio haya noten l'shomer bet ha-midrash, he had to give half of it to get into the Beis HaMidrash. V'chetzio l'parnasato v'l'parnasat anshe beito. And one time, he couldn't find any work, lo matzal istaker, and they refused to allow him into the Beit HaMidrash, l'kanes, Allah, so he climbed up and hung himself there out on the roof. V'yashava pi aruba, and there was like a little window, a skylight on the roof that he could listen. K'tei she'ishma divrei Elohim chayim mipi shmaya v'avtalion. Amro toayom was Erev Shabbos that he had gone up there. And it was winter, it was tkufat tevet, and there was a snowstorm. V'yorad alav shelag bin ha'shamayim. And then, in the daytime, kisha'ala amud ha-shachar, normally the Beit HaMidrash would get light. Amar lo shemaya l'avtalion, avtalion achi, I note with great interest that usually the Beis HaMidrash is light, and today the Beis HaMidrash is dark. Do you think, perhaps, that it's a cloudy day? Maybe we should look and see. Very dramatic stories. Okay, so this is all, as Rashi says, sort of imaginary. In other words, what we're saying is, look, in the Beis Din Shalmala, you know, they could actually do this to a poor Ani. And we're not saying that they would, but, I mean, it would be a pretty dramatic scene. There's the guy, and he's sure, what? I mean, nobody expected me to come to Daf Yomi. I mean, for heaven's sakes, I got to make a living, don't I? And so the Beis Din tells him all this dramatic story over here. And there they look up, and sure enough, there is poor Hillel. And he's covered with 3 feet of snow. You know, this is very normal in Shmaya Vavtahi's Beis HaMidrash. Okay, and he's covered with 3 feet of snow. And it's Tkuvas Teves. And so they run up to the roof, and they see it, Dmut Adam Baruva. So they run up to the roof, and they find 3 amas of snow on him. So they had to take off all the snow before they could even lift him up. They bring him down. They warm him up. They put him in a bathtub. They cover him with oil. They put him by the fire, Oshivu Keneged Amedura. And they said, now this is a guy that's Roy Zelech Halelolavet HaShabbat. I mean, look, usually when you have to be B'chalo Shabbos for some shmo, you think to yourself, Shabbos is more important than the shmo, but what can you do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said we got to save the shmo. But here, this was a guy that is kedai to be B'chalo Shabbos. It's an honor to be B'chalo Shabbos for such a person. So what do you say, Mr. Ani? You see how Aniim are supposed to behave? This puts the fear of the Lord into the Ani while there's still time for him to start coming to Daf Yomi. All right. And then, how about if an usher comes to the Beis Din Shalmala? So they say to him, mipnei malo asakta batorah. So if he gives the good excuse, listen, I mean, for God's sake, do you know how many board meetings I have? I mean, like, I'm on the board of 50 different organizations, businesses. I got no time for Daf Yomi. So, I mean, you can imagine. Toruda yiti b'nechasai. So we say to him, indeed, were you richer then even Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom, and this was the same whose mommy had made for him this $20 million beged that he wasn't allowed to wear in the end. Anyway, you certainly weren't richer than him. They say about him, Amru alav Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom, his daddy left him 1,000 actual cities on the Abasha. And he also had 1,000 businesses of international trade. He had Elef Svinot Bayam. And what he would do is every day, he would get up in the morning, take himself a pound of flour, put it over his shoulder, and he would go meir le'ir, mimedina le'medina, so he could make himself some pancakes or something to eat, lilmot Torah, and he wanted to get the best shirim he could get to. So one time his own workers in one of the towns that he's passing, it was his own town. They took him and they said, listen, it's your turn to work out on the chain gang today. Everybody's got to pay his taxes. Let me be, I need to go learn. Amrullah, they said to him, by the life of Rebbe Elazar ben Charsom, we will never let you go. Oh, he didn't want to say anything. Why didn't he want to say who he was? Marsha says, he didn't want to say who he was because he figured it would take him longer to persuade them who he was than it would just to do the work. So it was more efficient to actually do the work, which is certainly possible with bureaucracy. You could just imagine what that would have looked like. Hilarious story. So they definitely make an impression, you know, the Bezdin Shomala up there. I mean, you got to listen to this story. It's worth going to Daf Yomi, let me tell you. Okay, so that was that story. Oh, the Yavid says that the reason that he didn't bother telling them who he was is because he figured, as soon as he takes off his shirt, they're going to say, oh my God, this guy couldn't lift a shovel for the life of him. Get out of here. And they throw him away. Okay. And what about the Russia? So here is the Russia. And they say, so how come you didn't come to Daf Yomi? Are you kidding? Me? Come to Daf Yomi? I mean, you know what kind of Yetzer Hara you gave me? What am I supposed to do? You know, I'm so beautiful. Na'e'ayiti. Tarut b'yitzri. I'm busy all day, all night with the girls. I mean, what am I going to get up to the Daf Yomi in the morning? I got three girls in the bed. I can't get up in the morning. So therefore, excuse me. This one didn't go down too well either. There's a phone call right now by Reb Shloime Kaplan, and he's letting us know. It's ringing on my phone. Letting us know it's your last chance. So anybody that didn't send in the money, don't have to send in the money, but let me know. Please let me know. So anyway, he said, listen, I mean, you make me so beautiful, and then you come tiny as I'm supposed to go to Daf Yomi. So what does the Bezdin say to him? Klumna eh hayita yoter mi Yosef. You weren't as nice as Yosef HaTzadik was. Amru alava Yosef HaTzadik b'chor yom v'yom hayta eshet Potifar mishadalato bidvarim. Now you can see the next piece of the Gemara is obviously mechuber to our sugya. Begodim shelav shalo shachrit lo lav shalo arvit. She would never wear the same clothes in the morning that she would in the afternoon. Now, this is exactly the story that we're talking about over here, that the Kohen Gadol has to change into begodim achirim. So this was just like to turn him on. This dress wasn't good enough. Let's try this dress. Amralo, so she says to him, Hishamali, Amarla, no way. Amralo, so she said, I'm going to get you thrown into jail, which she did. Amarla, doesn't bother me, man. Hashem matir asurim. Hareni kofefet komatcha. I'm going to put you in chains and drag you down. Hashem zokef kufim. I will blind you. Hashem pokeach ivrim. So this is all based on the understanding of Ashrei mi she'el Yaakov be'ezro sivra l'Hashem elokav. That's the beginning of the Tehillah. So the Masha explains that, therefore, we understand that this Tehillah was entirely in terms of Yosef HaTzadik, because when Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim, so that's Gufa, what it says over there, that Asher She'el Yaakov, Sivro, meaning that that was the Shever that Yaakov Avinu was going to get from Yosef HaTzadik, and there's where it says all these posik, Oseh Mishpat LaShukim, and therefore we understand that if it's saying over that, Hashem Ohev Tzadikim, Hashem Shomer Gerim, so this is a reference all to Yosef HaTzadik, who was a ger in Eretz Mitzrayim and sold over there, and who's called the Tzadik, and therefore Tzadikim is a reference to him. That's why the Gemara is extrapolating that we must have, she must have put him into a position where these haftachas from Hashem Yisbarach were important. So he said, Hashem atir asurim, Hashem zokef kefufim, not nolo elef kikre kesev lishmoa elea lishkavetz la liotima. Because lishkavetzla b'olam hazeh would have meant liyot ima l'olam haba. I mean, it's one thing, a one-night stand, eternity with this girl. Are you kidding? So that's definitely one way to look at it, one way to look at it, right? And I think there was a movie about that, Flatliners, right? Where like the einesh le'olam haba was, they would have to live with the person that they had wronged, they'd have to live with for all eternity. Okay, so that's a great message from the Beis Din Shomala. Anyway, so you certainly weren't more beautiful than Yosef was, and he managed to do a lot of Daf Yomi. So therefore, Nimtza Hillel Mechayev et Aniyim, Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom is Mechayev the Ashirim, and Yosef HaTzadik is Mechayev et HaRishaim. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Now, when Rabbi Tarfon was in trouble and he said, he hinted that he was Tarfon, he lost schar, he was complained. So wouldn't that be the same thing here?
No. Although some say that, I disagree. Because over here, in mentioning who he was, it wouldn't have been the covet of his learning that he was an Ephron. It would have been the fact that he's the boss. I'm the boss, and you're putting me in jail because I don't work for the boss. I mean, that's perfectly reasonable.